guest, however, is Channel 7's Mark Stevens. Welcome back, Steve, to RSN Central. Good morning to you.
Great to be back. Yeah, morning, Gareth. I've been on a bit of a road trip this week. Great to get into regional Victoria, Albury-Wodonga, then Shepparton, and then down to Castlemaine, which is a little bit hipsterish, as nice little coffee shops and whatever, and as Bob Murphy calls it, Northcote. So a lot of guys in flannelette shirts, R.M. Williams, and sort of rock star type thing around up there.
There's so many great stories each and every year in the AFL draft. You've been hunting for them over the last week or so. Who do you think will be the best story in this year's AFL draft, Steve-O?
Oh, there's so many fantastic stories, but I really like the Elijah Holland story. He's a guy who, his dad obviously played at Richmond, a small forward, then went to the Sandford. This is Ben Hollands, and became a handy player over there. So he grew up in South Australia, Elijah Holland. He's an Adelaide supporter, now living in Albury-Wodonga, and he also boarded at Caulfield Grammar. So he's had an interesting upbringing, a really outgoing type of kid. And I think you've seen the interviews, Gareth. He's got that star factor about him, the way he talks.
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to be fascinating where he ends up, because Adelaide, I know, have put a lot of work into him with that first pick, and just looks the type of player that if he can get over that knee injury, might just be a once-in-a-generation type, just to lift your whole club. He's just got that personality that you can get on board with.
He's got that, as you pointed out, you could hear that in an interview you did with him on Channel 7 earlier on in the week, and I loved your grab with a few of the locals that were trying to keep his ego in check, that you're not famous, you're just a local.
Yeah.
But he's a kid that's got plenty of confidence. Obviously, he backs his own ability. He had that knee reconstruction at the start of the year, which would concern a few clubs. And it'd be interesting to see what Adelaide do, because Riley Thielthorpe's a local boy that wants to play at Adelaide next year, and it looks like he might go in front of Elijah Hollands, who, when you asked him that question, he might be living in country Victoria at the moment, but he spent time in Adelaide, and he's an Adelaide supporter, so he wouldn't mind heading to Adelaide to play for the Crows next year.
Oh, no doubt at all, and it'd just be interesting to see what the Crows do. Of course, they're a chance to bid on Jamara Ugel-Hagan, of course, who's the best player in the draft, is going to the Bulldogs. But just from a PR perspective, if you're the media manager or the marketing guru of Adelaide, do you want your club saying, OK, we bid on him even though we know we can't get him? Oh, well, how disappointing. We'll take the second best pick. Just from a perception point of view, do you take the local guy, Phil Thorpe, and say, look, we think this guy's as good as anyone in the draft. We're going to back him in. He'll go down in history as the number one pick, and we're not going to worry about bidding.
It's an interesting one. So why would they, knowing that the Western Bulldogs, they've been planning all year, and it's no secret really that they want Jamara Ugel-Hagan, who's part of their academy, and they get first crack at him if they've got enough points. It's a little bit complicated to explain to our audience if they don't understand this system these days. But basically, to simplify it, if the Bulldogs want Jamara Ugel-Hagan, they've got to use up a few of their draft picks and their points, and it looks like they've got enough points in the bag to do just that.
Yeah, but, so it'll be 3,000 points,
correct.
Number one pick. So, and then they get a discount on that, so 20%. Just looking at it, basically they'll give up four draft picks later in the draft that are worth that value. So they've got the points, they won't have to use those, and they get Jamara Ugel-Hagan. So it's an interesting dynamic. You know, do you think the AFL really would like the look of a club, you know, nominating and then having to take second best? Because Adelaide, in effect, don't get anything out of that. All they're doing is keeping the Bulldogs honest. They can say, look, we think this guy's as good as anyone. We're going to back him in, and he's the number one pick, and he'll go down in history as the number one as an Adelaide player, not perhaps the second best choice.
Do you like this move by the AFL? And this is probably the real first hurdle that they've had to face under this particular issue regarding academy players. I know Sydney and all that have had advantages over the years, but do you like this? Do you think it's fair on the rest of the AFL sides at the Bulldogs, just because Jamara Ugel-Hagan is part of their academy, that they get first crack at the best player in the competition? Say if this was the Richmond Football Club.
Really, the Bulldogs are fortunate to ball fall on their way. I mean, they had Warrnambool as their academy area, and this guy just popped up down there. I mean, they have put a lot of work into him, but I think he would have been a star regardless. and the AFL have now moved. This will basically never happen again, and it's probably fair enough. If you go through Isaac Quayne, who was an academy player, those type of players, Karen Thomas at North Melbourne, they got him cheaply. So there's a lot of luck in the draw, and I don't think it's really worked as well as the AFL would have thought. And I think we'll see some changes. In fact, there will be changes next year. You won't see first-round picks being picked up from academies again.
And the interesting part about this draw, Steve, we've had this discussion on a few occasions, is that we might have had the trade period done and dusted, but AFL clubs are still dealing with other clubs and they are maybe swapping certain draft picks. So the fascinating one for mine is the Essendon Football Club. Now, they've got three picks inside the top 10. I think it's six, seven, eight. So do you think that they will try and talk to, say, a North Melbourne and trade, say, those three picks for 2 and 11? Or do you think the Bombers will take the punt and back in their recruiting team and pick out the three best players at 6, 7 and 8? Because I feel a little bit for the Bombers this year and other clubs with picks inside the top 10, because this year will be harder than most because they haven't seen these players play for nearly 12 months.
Yeah, that's right, but they should be pretty consistent in that 6, 7 and 8 area. No doubt they'd be looking to get North Melbourne's pick, but the mail is that North will stick and they want to take that number 2 pick because North, you know, they're, for all their knockers and whatever, really haven't had many low picks at all. They've been very competitive over the years. So this is their chance to get that marquee type of player. So I don't think there'll be a trade there at all. And 6, 7 and 8 is a wonderful opportunity still for the Bombers. There's going to be some great players slip through to there, but just the more I think about it and just whispers and talking to people, I've just got a gut feeling that North might go for this Elijah Holland. I just think it just ticks the boxes. I know that, this is a long bow, but Aubrey Wodonga used to be North's area. You know, he's in Victoria at the moment. They need that sort of dynamic midfielder, the taller, bigger midfield type. I mean, they've got those smaller mids. And I just think he ticks all the boxes. It's going to be very tempting for North Melbourne to take him if Adelaide overlooks Elijah Holland. And I think they're more likely to take Silthorpe or the other tall from WA, Logan McDonald. So, yeah, I just think that I think it'd be a great story, Elijah Holland. The only query is a knee injury, and he comes back mid-year next year, June, July. But they've got to take a long look at him as far as long-term. And as he said very maturely, it's not about my first 6 weeks of my career. You know, I want to have a really long, big career. So he spoke beautifully, and I think he's a guy that you can really turn into a marquee player.
What's the philosophy with clubs these days? Do they pick the best players, or do they look at their own list and say, OK, we need these certain players to boost our playing squad? So we might see a player that we think's a better player, but he's a centre-half forward, and we don't need a key position player anymore. We need a hard-running midfielder.
Well, I think the top of the tree, the really pointy end, I think best available is 90%. But I think you've always got to have a 10% look at it. I mean, to some clubs have clearly got deficiencies. And when you talk about North, it's that bigger midfielder. Of course, they'd like some calls as well. But it is a mix. I think clubs will always say take the best available. But you've got to be smart about it, Gareth, don't you? I mean, Essendon, they've got 6, 7 and 8. They're not going to take three similar types there, are they? They're going to try and mix it up.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a wonderful position. Adrian Dodoro there to have a real crack at it. And, you know, the draft Wednesday night, it's going to be virtual. I know that Elijah Holland's got, as he said, 40 of his closest mates already booked into a pub up there. It's called the Public House in Albury. I think that might be a big night.
Yes. And looking at Elijah, he looks like he might be a young man that doesn't mind a drink from time to time.
Well, most good footballers do, and I spoke to another guy, Jack Ginnivan, which will be on the news tonight. His 18th birthday on Wednesday, so he's still nervous about whether he's going to be picked up. It's fair to say there might be a few beers on ice either way there. His dad has kicked 100 in country footy, and Jack kicked 100 as well. And his dad said, you know, he was coaching, so I had to move him into the back line to make sure he didn't break my personal record.
Does he think you'll be the best player out of Castlemaine?
I don't think so. His dad was taking me through a few. You'll have to watch the news tonight. But I think there's a guy called Dusty who came from there. So I think if the young fella's half as good as Dusty, he'd be quite happy. Jack Titus, another great Richmond name, I'm told, came from Castlemaine as well. Stephen Oliver, the guy from Carlton, of course, had so much ability, could have been anything but just like your country life. And as I said, it's a ripping place up there at Castlemaine. Gareth, I think it would suit your lifestyle, actually. A bit bohemian, a little bit hippie, and, you know, people enjoying life up there in the hills.
Right up my alley. 0416905052. We're having a chat to a few of the boys from Cobden there last week, and they were mentioning that their town produces the best AFL players. McGrath from Essendon, Sammy Walsh, Gary Rowan. I probably missed a few there. I'd be fascinated to see what our listeners would have to say. What's the best country town or even the Metropolitan Football Club that produces the best AFL players? Cobden would have to be right up there with some of their stars that they've produced.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do this, Gareth, or get Champion Data to work on it. A formula, per capita, games played, perhaps smoothing formula on rate and how they are, to come up with the best suburb or country town to produce footballers in the history of the game. I think there'd be a mathematician out there that could come up with a formula for this.
Yep, I like that. We'll do that next week. And the last one before I let you go, Steve, is there any delisted players that you think are in demand from other AFL clubs that will get a second crack at it?
Yeah, there's a series of players around. I don't think there'll be too many. I think, maybe later on in the draft, I think most of them have been re-rookied, which is interesting, isn't it? They're re-picked up by their club. What do you think of the rookie system at the moment? I mean, we've got Eddie Betts there. The Bulldogs have put on Will Hayes back onto the rookie list, players like that. Do you think it should be for the 19-year-olds that have just missed out or on the fringe or more for these mid-20s or even early 30s players who are hanging in there?
I don't know about the early 30s, but maybe, say, from 18 to 26, 25. We had Mick Barlow on our show yesterday. And he's pretty passionate about this because that's where he got his chance. He was picked up from Werribee to the Fremantle Football Club, and in his first year, he was favourite for the Brownlow at stages. So he's thinking that AFL clubs now are starting to really rookie list players that have had opportunities on their list prior, and they're not looking deep enough going to the VFL clubs or even some country clubs these days and trying to find that bargain buy and put them in a rookie list and give them an opportunity. So I guess that's up to the AFL clubs and see how deep they want to go with their recruiting procedures. But yeah, I would hope that we don't lose those type of players heading in back into the AFL system, like the Mick Barlows that had 3 or 4 years to develop in the VFL and then get that opportunity at AFL level. The Josh Kellys of the world. There's a few players over in the West that dominated in the Waffle. So Liam Ryan's a perfect example who had an opportunity. Marlon Pickett, mid-season draft. They were mature age players that made an immediate impact in the AFL. And hopefully the AFL and the clubs, we don't lose those players to the competition.
We need to rename. It needs to be rebranded. Maybe the listeners can come up with a new name for the rookie.
Yeah.
Because a rookie's perception is the young buck. We need to come up with a new name. Mm. Is it an extras? Is it a... Let's come up with a name.
Why can't you just have a rookie draft and a rookie list and a veterans list?
Yeah, just don't call them rookies anymore. Yeah. Come up with something else, whether it's supplementary or something extra, because rookie for mine is, you know, it's a young kid in first or second year. But it's just going to be a fascinating draft, I think, Gareth. And I think what you'll find is a lot of players have slipped through the net this year.
Yeah.
There's got to be players out there that were ready to blossom and haven't had the opportunity. And a lot of the form they're going on, of course, has just been a handful of games at the end of last year and through the under-18 carnival. So I really feel for a lot of kids that didn't get a chance this year, but I think they will come to the fore eventually, and you'll see a lot of future picks are being swapped around. I think next year's draft is going to be an absolute powerhouse with so much depth, considering that the players have sort of slipped through the cracks.
It'll be interesting to see how these draftees perform, but we won't know until a couple of years, or at least a year away anyway. Hey, Steve, it's always a pleasure, mate. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Gareth. I'll just get back to my latte. Not as trendy as Castlemaine here where I am in Burnley Street, but we'll get there.
Well, enjoy. There's Mark Stevens there from Channel 7 with an update on the AFL draft. It will be interesting. It's like picking out yearlings at a yearling sale on the Gold Coast or here in Melbourne at the Premier Sale or the Easter Sale in Sydney. You can put in all of the homework and you can do all of your homework, and you need a little bit of luck, but if you do pick right, like Port Adelaide did a couple of years ago, you can quickly elevate yourself up that ladder and become a serious premiership threat. Alistair Clarkson had all of that success, but that came back to the draft when they had Roughhead, Jordan Lewis and Buddy Franklin. And opportunities for clubs like North Melbourne, Adelaide, but especially a club like Essendon, three picks inside that top 10. If they get it wrong, it can be a long decade. If they get it right, it can be quite a successful decade. So a lot of pressure on the recruiters these days. They need to be good at their job, but they also need a touch of luck. This is RSN Central with Gareth Hall. It's 10:52. You're listening to RSN 927. Of course, your home of racing and sport. Straight after this, we'll catch up with the English superstar jockey, Holly Doyle.